but it did. So if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising his name. And to all the men here that are fathers or are yet to become fathers, happy Father's Day. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a man today. And we're going to encourage and empower and equip. And that's what men are called to do. And that's what we're called to do within the church. But I want to let you know that today is actually a more important day, or just as important day. You may not know what it is, but it is National Cannoli Day in the United States of America. June 16th is National Cannoli Day. So we actually figured this out. It was a gift from God. We decided that we were going to give every man 18 or older at Bridge City Church a cannoli on Father's Day as a gift. And we found out that it was National Cannoli Day after the fact. And we actually told an Italian bakery within White Oak, Patty's Pasticceria, that it was Cannoli Day when we ordered 375 cannolis. So if you're a guy here today, you're going to get a cannoli. And my beautiful bride's going to come up on stage here. She's going to help me out. Is this your first time filling a cannoli?
I'm doing it.
We're doing it together. As we, yes? All right, here we go. Take this. Okay, and I got this. Okay, here we go. Boom. Now I'm going to twist. Look at this. Now twist it. Oh, look at this. This is great. Look at that. Go ahead, set it down.
Okay.
All right, and then because I have the power of this, we're going to do this. Look how beautiful. Do you want to do the powdered sugar?
Sure.
There we go. Give it a little sprinkle. A little bit more. We're going to give this to somebody. We want them to like. A little bit more.
Okay.
It is National Cannoli Day.
Right.
Oh, look at that. It came out really a whole bunch. It came out a whole bunch. I didn't know it was going to do that, babe. Here we go. Take that. Give that to Sarah. Give that to Sarah. I love you. Pray for her. Somebody gave me a bullhorn for Father's Day today. Listen, Kurt, happy Father's Day, sir. Enjoy that. Enjoy that. That was made with love and sacrifice. And Rachel put a lot of care into that. And powdered sugar is sticky. And my hand's not even wet. Kevin, Kim, I apologize for the powdered sugar that is all over the stage. So, listen, we're going to talk about Noah today. Everybody know who that guy is? Noah is a very important man in the Bible. I'm going to start out by reading Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now I'm going to go back. Why are we honoring men today? Why are we speaking directly to men today? Why are we going to encourage men today and empower men today and speak to what it takes to walk in authentic manhood? Why are we going to ask men to step boldly into their godly call as men? Here's why. Because we live in a culture that is breaking down manhood every single day. We live in a culture that is trying to disvalue men every single day. We live in a culture that is breaking manhood down. We're going to talk about it unashamedly today. Here's another reason why we're honoring men. Because we are fighting for a generation. We are fighting for a generation every single day. I'm looking around this room and I see a generation that is totally worth fighting for. And they are fighting for a generation that's below them. And they know it. June 30th, we're having Family Day here at Bridge City Church. And the teenagers, Bridge City students, they are going to be leading so much of that day. And here's why. This is their church. Just as much as it's yours, as it's mine, it's theirs. And they're going to be coming back from the Encounter Conference. We're going to be coming off of the Bridge City Pittsburgh mission trip. And there's going to be a lot of things that need to be shared and encouraged and told to you guys. Rachel, I love you so, so much. It wasn't coming out at all. And then all of a sudden, it just powdered sugar. It's been a long time, like 20 years of this. So we're good. All right, so we're going to have June 30th, Family Day, where the teenagers, Bridge City Church of Bridge City students are going to be encouraging all of us and pushing us forward. Guys, I'm empowering you today because I want you to know that the generation that is being raised up, they're worth fighting for. And I believe we have to invest in them. Noah, as we just read in Hebrews 11:7, was a man that fought for and walked in authentic manhood. He walked in devotion to God. He walked in knowing that if he was devoted to God, the generation that was with him and was to come would be able to walk in the blessings of God, being moved with and by the fear of God. He was committed to his household. Men that walk in authentic manhood are committed to their household. They're heroes. Every guy wants to be a hero in some way, shape, or form. And heroes always have three things. They have an identity. They have something that marks them, something that makes them known as a hero, whether it's their uniform. It's not, I don't know, what do they call that? It's not even their uniform. What do they call it? A superhero costume? I'm not a superhero guy. Super suit. Thank you, Elder Matt. I don't think anyone's ever going to call it a super suit ever again, but I like it is from Incredibles. What are you doing with my super suit? They have a superpower, right? And they also have something that they're fighting for. They have something that they're fighting for. You know what I really wish that my superpower was? That I could skip the tunnels in Pittsburgh. The Squirrel Hill Tunnel, most specifically the Fort Pitt. And my superpower would also include the bridge. You know, here's 40 feet, you got four lanes, pick one. You know, that whole thing, it's dangerous, especially for people that don't understand what a yield sign is. It's not a stop sign. It is slow down and proceed with caution. Superpowers. I wish some people's superpower was just getting to church on time. Oh, shots fired. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm not trying to cause a fight. Listen, Noah had a superpower, and we need to thank him for it. Now, listen, this is going to be a trigger for if you're a vegetarian in the room. I just want to let you know, I forewarned you. But we need to thank Noah for barbecue. We really do. If he didn't build that ark, we wouldn't have ribs. We wouldn't have brisket. We wouldn't have pulled pork. We wouldn't have sausages. We wouldn't have ribeye. Listen, this picture went way better at the first worship experience. I think we had more barbecue lovers. But listen, this is real. Some of the Father's Day meals today would not be had if it weren't for Noah. Bacon. Bacon makes it better. We need to thank Noah. Even turkey, the driest meat known to mankind, is because of Noah. Unless you deep fry it, it's not worth much. It really isn't. And I've smoked it. Any meat that needs a sauce isn't really worth it, in my opinion. All right, the context of the story of Noah. Things were really bad in the world. Really bad. They weren't going well. And this verse really sums it up that we're going to start with in Genesis 6. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on earth, and it broke his heart. Listen, we're living in a post-Christian world. We're living in an anti-Christian world. We're living in a world where things are consistently evil and messed up now. How bad was it then? How bad was it then? And I think about these verses, and I think about the last statement in verse 6. It broke his heart. It didn't say it frustrated him as a father. It didn't say it made him sad. It didn't say, you know, he wept a little bit. No, it broke his heart. You know, as a father, there's times where things make us angry. There's times where things make us mad. There's times where things make us sad. But I've never had a broken heart. And I think about God having a broken heart, totally devastated by the culture and the society and the rebellion. And I wonder, is God's heart close to breaking now over what's going on in our world and the fact that masculinity is being so totally attacked? Manhood is being so totally attacked. Our world is so anti-masculinity. And there's this term that, toxic masculinity. And I just want to respond to that sometimes. Like, everything's toxic. Everything in our world is so much toxic. And you're just going to point out one thing because you want to attack it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not men in the world over time that have had a bad reputation and not done bad things. Absolutely, 100%, that is true. But I want there to be God's men that stand up. I don't want that to be so for us. I don't want that to be spoken about the men of Bridge City Church. I don't want that to be spoken about you. As a husband, as a father, as a son, as a brother. I don't want that to be spoken about you. Let's keep going. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race out. I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. But Noah. But Noah. You know, you've probably, if you've been coming to Bridge City Church for any extended period of time, you've heard me say that I love the buts in the Bible. Because there are always good things that come after them. God's about to do something really good. And I really believe that in 2024, God's looking for some men to stand up, to be the Noahs of a generation. But Joe, but Tommy, but Sean, but Cody, but the whole row. But Kurt, but Jeremy. He's looking for men to stand up. But Nazareth. But Brandon. He's looking for men to stand up, but the men of Bridge City Church. He's looking for men that will be proved faithful. Noah hadn't done anything but found favor with God and walked in the righteousness. This grace, this kindness, this affectionate regard. He walked in the compassion. Grace enables us, empowers us to accomplish what God has given us to do. Guess what? Grace is our superpower. When people see you and start to look at you as a hero, if you're a father and your son or your daughter looks at you and they think you're a hero, you can say that grace is your superpower. And you didn't get it like Spider-Man getting bit by a spider. You didn't get it like Iron Man and build a suit in a dungeon. You got it because you responded to the cross and what Jesus did. When Lennon looks at me and he thinks I'm super powered because I can lift things that he can't lift yet, or I can do things that he can't do yet, or I don't get tired, or whatever it may be, I want him to think that grace is my superpower. Where did this favor come from? Where did this superpower come from? How did we get it? We got it from the cross. Noah got it from devotion and a fear of God and being committed. And we walk in it the same way. So this devotion to God, it resulted in Noah being divinely warned by God. And it's so amazing to me, the faith that Noah walked in. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Listen, let's just talk first and foremost. I just want to point out, he had a son named Ham. I love that. I love that. How many times do you think Noah said it? Like, you're just being a ham. And how many times do you think he went to Shem? Said, Shem, you're being a ham. Did it happen? I don't know. But I think this way. I think this way. Those two verses were a pretty powerful account of a man. He lived a blameless life. He walked in close fellowship with God. He was a father. What's your account going to be when it's written about you? Because listen, I want you to know that one day someone's going to write about you. Whether you have thought about that or not, someday someone is going to have the opportunity to write about you. Don't make them have to make things up. I've had the pleasure and the honor and the privilege to read many obituaries. I've been involved in writing a few. I've written my own. It's going to be changed a little bit, but the majority of it's come true so far. And that was 15 years ago that it was written. Start to live out the account that you want to be written about your life. And I don't care where you are in your life. Today can be a reset. Whether you're a man or a woman in this room, today can be a reset. What will be written about you? What will be written about me? What will be written about us? Noah was a righteous man. He had right standing with God, his conduct, his character. Who we are on the inside is the same on the outside. He was blameless. He was sound. He was undefiled. He was whole. He walked in close fellowship with God. the proximity to God. They walked together. Men, God's inviting you to be in close proximity to Him. Not just on Sundays for an hour and 15 minutes, but on Monday through Saturday. At that time in Noah's generation, he was the closest. He didn't walk in the curses of his generation. And you don't have to either. Every generation has them. It's our choice whether or not we're going to walk in them. We do not need to walk in the curses of our generation. Noah not walked with God. He pleased God. He was devoted to God. He honored Him in the decisions of his life. His goal was not popularity or to have the biggest yacht in the harbor. It was to honor God. He had integrity. What's on the inside of you and being true to that. His character produced his conduct, which is what people saw on the outside. The biggest compliment that anyone can ever pay you is that you're the same person at church that you are at work and that you are when you're hanging out with your buddies at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I was tested on Monday. Joe can give an account to it. Jimmy Young Jr. can give an account to it. My brother-in-law Jordan can give an account to it. We went for all-you-could-eat boneless chicken nuggets. They're not wings, they're chicken nuggets. On Monday night after a long bike ride. We went in at 9 p.m., we left at 10:32, and we ate nothing. Exactly, that's what we said, Ace. We said, what? They were having some struggles. My flesh wanted to react in every single way. We made memories. These are memories that will last a lifetime. Joe is still scorned. He can't think about it. He lost a close friend that night. That buffalo that's on the commercial was a close friend to Joe. He can't think about it anymore. Jordan almost walked in the kitchen. I'm serious. He saw our food sitting on the expo. It just couldn't make its way out. It was 15 feet away. I said to the waitress, I was like, listen, everybody in here is ordering the same thing, chicken nuggets and french fries. Can we help in any way? And then we were the same in there as we are here. We were the same when we were riding our bikes as we are here. That's the greatest compliment that anyone can ever pay you. When I say, I go to church with that man, to somebody, I don't want the person on the other end of that conversation to be shocked you go to church. Are you ready to start wearing your Bridge City Church shirt everywhere? Are you ready to put a Bridge City Church sticker on the back of your car? Oh, I don't know. Somebody challenged me recently. Pastor Nick, your sticker's not on the back of your car anymore. It fell off in the car wash, and I didn't get a new one yet. I did not take it off. It wasn't removed. It fell off. I didn't put a new one on yet. I wash my car like 4 or 5 times a week, so it came off. It wasn't built for that. I'll put a new one on soon, I promise you. But ask yourself the question, are you ready? 8 times. In Genesis 6 through 9, the Lord said, are you getting my drift here? The Lord said, Noah heard, Noah listened. Man, we can hear and know God, but if we don't do it and walk it out, what's the point? Do you know Him? Do you hear Him? And are you walking it out? Do you know Him? Do you hear Him? And are you walking it out? Noah knew what was said, and Noah did it. Listen, I know that women are way better at multitasking. I know that they're way better at nurturing. I know they're way better at organizing. I know that they're way better at a lot of things. But I can prove with statistics, with fruit, because time tells and fruit doesn't lie, that men need other men. That authentic manhood, authentic protection, security, care for, and demonstration of fatherhood and godly manhood needs to be demonstrated by other men. I can prove it, and I stand by it. How do I know this? I needed it. My father has passed away 14 years ago in August. And one of my dad taught me how to love people. He taught me how to tell a story. He taught me how to work hard. He taught me a lot of things. He didn't teach me how to be a husband. He didn't teach me how to be a father in a lot of ways. He didn't teach me how to be a godly man. One of my greatest memories with fatherhood, involving fatherhood and spiritual fatherhood, my dad was passing away. And it was just me and him in the room at Shadyside Hospital. And three men walked in. You know one of them. His name's Rob Benedetti. Spiritual father of my life. Ed Del Torre, I was texting him this morning. Those men showed me what fatherhood looked like and spiritual. They showed me the love of the Father that day. We all need to be able to walk it out and understand and receive fatherhood. Let's keep going. Genesis 7:1. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him to do. This takes godly fear, not just faith. Godly fear. I want you to think about this. Build a boat. This boat was 2.5 football fields long. A football field's 100 yards. Got it? So that's 200 yards. Plus half, 250 yards long. Got it? It is 4 stories high. We're 2 stories high right now, so I had 2 more buildings on top of this. That's how tall the boat is. And it had never rained before. They had never saw rain. It's going to rain. It's going to flood. Build a boat that's bigger than anything you've ever seen. That's not just faith. That's godly fear. Do you know how many trips it would take to Home Depot to build this boat? I'm serious. I just repaired an 8-foot section of my roof, and I went to Home Depot and a garage that had roofing supplies 6 times in a 1-day period. 6 times. That's 8 feet. Do you know how much faith it takes to build a boat that's 2.5 football fields long? I don't know, guys. Covering our homes, our households, our marriages, our children takes faith. It also takes a bunch of trips to Home Depot, but it still takes faith. The fear of God will push us to love what God loves, to hate what God hates, and to live like we're going to give an account for our life to God. Men in our culture so many times are afraid to step forward because we're not walking in our God-given authority. we're not walking in the authority that protects and loves and nurtures and cares for the women and children in our lives and the friendships in our lives. What do we do when we feel like it's not worth it? We go back to simple devotion. We go back to God. We allow for Him to direct us and guide us. We go back to that godly fear that moves us to action. We go back to what did God ask us to do? What did God ask for you to do? What did God give you? Being committed to our household and planting seeds for tomorrow. You know, I had a wedding last night, and the father of the bride, his name's Paul, and he had two daughters, Cameron and Aaron. Aaron was the bride, and Cameron was the maid of honor, and she gave a toast. And she shared that she was three and a half years younger than her older sister. And she did the best job she possibly could have done at being a pain in the butt. And her dad shouted out, "And you were an overachiever." But I went to Paul and I said, "I'm so thankful that I have a son. Maybe one day I'll be blessed with a daughter. But if I ever do have a daughter, I'm going to need an IV the whole day during the wedding, because I'll be dehydrated, because I'll be a mess." And he said, "I know what you mean, man." And he shared a life lesson with me that he had no idea that he was sharing. The whole time raising their daughters, they told them, "One day you're going to be best friends. One day you're going to be best friends. One day you're going to be best friends." And last night, Cameron shared, "Today is that day where we get to see the fruit of all the seeds that our parents planted." And I'm paraphrasing. But men, you're planting seeds in lives that you have no idea of the fruit that you're going to see one day. And that's what fatherhood is. That's what authentic manhood is. That's what godly fear is. Fear of God is planting seeds for the next generation that you may never get to see the fruit of. I think of Matt and Sarah Klingensmith and the seeds they planted in my brother-in-law's life, that they didn't know what they were planting sometimes, but they now get to see the fruit. Jordan's now our video director. He's one of our worship leaders. He's married to Maria Armstrong. They just celebrated their 6th wedding anniversary. And if those seeds weren't planted when Matt was a Bridge City student leader with his wife, Sarah, what could have happened? I think of our Bridge City student leaders now that are planting seeds in the lives of the students. What is the fruit we're going to get to see from those seeds? I think of Ralph and Maureen Matarazzo and Randy and Leslie Young and Rob and Sue Benedetti and Jim and Deb Armstrong. And I know I'm probably missing some people, but the seeds that they're planting now and have planted over the years, they may never get to see the fruit. Seeds you're planting now, we're all going to get to see the new building. We're all going to get to see it in Jesus' glorious name. And in a week or so, in Jesus' name, we're all going to get to see the new air conditioning in this room. I'm wearing a suit coat. Some of you just have t-shirts on. I'm just saying. It's going to happen. The kids have air conditioning over there and upstairs. So if you would like to serve in our Bridge City kids department, now's a great time to shadow. Nobody stood up. I figured they would stand up. Head to the connection point after church. You can shadow next week. Their air conditioning is working great. But let's think about it. There's no way that Noah could have done what he did without his family, without his sons, without their wives. Let's talk about Mrs. Noah for a second. I don't know her name. Do you know her name? If you do figure, but Mrs. Noah, what perspective do we have for her? Was there any way Noah could have did what he did without her? Nope. Without her affirmation, without her encouragement, without her speaking life to him. How do you know all that? Here's why. Because I have a Mrs. Rachel Stepanovic. And I know that Mrs. Noah probably did the exact same things that Rachel does for me. She affirms me all the time. She encourages me all the time. She speaks life to me all the time. Most of the time when I don't deserve it, because that's when I need it the most. Ladies, you get what you speak to. If you speak to him, like he's a donkey, you're going to get a donkey. You know what he could say there. If you speak to him like he's a stallion, you're going to get a stallion. I want to be a Clydesdale. You know, like those big horses. I've always wanted to be one of those. I like cycling, and I'm actually claimed as Clydesdale because I'm so big. They don't want to call me fat, so they call me Clydesdale. I'm serious. Look it up. That's the ranking. If I do a bike race, I'm in the Clydesdale division. It's called fat guys. I'm serious. Look it up. It's true. Rachel learned this very early on in our marriage. Not that I wanted to be a Clydesdale, but I took the garbage out, and I stood there and waited. She's like, "You all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I took the garbage out." She's like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "No, you didn't hear me. I took the garbage out." She's like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "A head scratch, a pat on the back, a good boy, like just something. I just need something." And she's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yes. When Winston goes outside, goes to the bathroom, he comes in, he gets a treat, and you say, 'Good boy.' I'm a little bit similar to that. I need encouragement and affirmation. I need that. I'm not stupid, but I am simple. If I'm in a bad mood, I'm most likely hungry." She caught on to this whenever Lennon came into the picture. She always had snacks for him. She now knows that I need snacks. All the ladies, where do your attitudes towards men come from? I have no idea. Is it a hurt? Is it shame? Is it pain? All those things are very, very, very real. I'm not discounting them at all. I want your attitude towards men to be biblical. I want it to be godly ones. I want them to come from the Father, for freedom to come from all of those things that I mentioned, from the hurt, the pain, or the shame, because freedom is available. And when we all walk in everything that we're called to walk in, it is beautiful. 2 Peter 2:5, "And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment, so God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood." Listen, this is legacy. This is legacy. This story about Noah and his righteousness and his favor with God that he walked in is still being told today. What's the story that's going to be told about us? What is going to be told about us? Our lives as authentic men and women will carry on a story. He built the ark for the salvation of his family. He carried out the job. And he demonstrated what authenticity of manhood and faithfulness looked like. Faith requires risk. It was risky. And as a man and as men, we never want to take it easy. We like risks. We really do. It's in our DNA. That's why as kids we jump our bikes off of things we shouldn't have jumped our bikes off of, and we jump off of things we shouldn't jump off of, and we swing off of things we shouldn't swing off of, because we like risks. And as we get older, we start to count the costs a little bit more. And sometimes we stop taking risks. But we've been created to take risks. We've been created for a life of adventure. And I'm looking out sometimes, and sometimes we've been playing it a little bit too safe. We've been trying to control things a little bit too much. It's time to take some more risks. And here's a big risk. You ready? We're taking one as a church. August 4th, our outdoor Pittsburgh outdoor worship experience. This is a big risk. A lot of faith. And this isn't just a Bridge City outdoor worship experience. This is a Pittsburgh outdoor worship experience. There's 12 churches that are involved now. This is exciting. Well over a decade, we've been praying that we're going to host a worship experience, and we're going to fill a stadium. And we're going to get to see it come to fruition on August 4th at 11 a.m. at Highmark Stadium in Station Square. And you all are a part of it. This is a risk. We're taking a risk that we're going to fill this stadium. We're taking a risk that when Highmark Stadium keeps telling us that it's going to cost this much and then this much and then this much and then this much, that God's going to show up big time in every area. We knew we'd have to rent a stage for the field. We didn't know we'd have to rent stuff to put down on the field to get the truck out onto the stage, on the field to put the stage up. God knew. We took a risk. And God's going to meet us. Noah didn't even know what rain was, and he built a boat. You're going to take a risk, and you're going to invite a whole bunch of people that may have never been to church before, but they've been to Highmark Stadium maybe to watch soccer because they like soccer, which that's a risk in and of itself. I'm sorry, Matt. Again, it just... I protect my feet. I don't like kicking things. I'll be a goalie. I like being a goalie. Emmanuel liked that one. I played soccer as a kid, YMCA. This is a risk. Listen, I'm believing that when God speaks about Bridge City Church, he says, but Bridge City Church, but the men of Bridge City Church. That each of us are going to walk in devotion and fear of God, and we're going to be committed to our household, to our family, to our friends, to our brothers. How do we do it? You have to take one big risk first and let go of everything. All the stuff you've been carrying that you weren't called to carry anymore. Because after all, you're a Pittsburgher. You've been raised to just white knuckle it and push through and work harder. Just get it done. Mon Valley spirit. How do I know this? I'm there. Born and raised. But now I'm telling you to do the exact opposite and let go. Give it up. And lay it at the foot of the cross. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be your day. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that He is Lord so that you shall be saved, let today be your day. Saved from what? Your past, your sin, but most importantly, your future. A future without Him. And if you don't have that day, I'm going to ask you to do the most brave, courageous, faith-filled thing you've ever done. And that's slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. And this is for every man, woman, and child that's in the room. Anyone at all today, so that we could pray with you, encourage you, empower you, and equip you to walk forward. Thank you, Jesus. Last thing, I want to speak to the men one more time. It is Father's Day. I want to say a couple things, three things actually to you. Number one, I believe in you. As your pastor, if I'm honored and privileged enough to hold that position in your life, or if I'm earning that position currently in your life, I believe in you. Wholeheartedly. The second thing, you're not alone. Look around the room. If you feel alone, and trust me, I know that. I know that you could feel alone because even I feel alone at times, but we need to push past that lie. If you feel alone, tell somebody. And don't just tell your girlfriend or your wife or your friend of the opposite sex. Don't just tell, because they can't fix it. You need to tell another man. Hey, I feel alone. And they'll be able to speak to it. They'll be able to help through some things because you're not alone. All that stuff you're fighting through, all that stuff you're battling, all those lies that you hear, stop. You're not alone. Because there are men who are in front of you, beside you, behind you, that are willing and ready to encourage you, empower you, equip you, and challenge you to move forward. Last thing, it can be done. How do I know it can be done? Because there are countless men that are a part of your church that have gone before you and are walking it out. There's always somebody that's in front of you. If this is your first week here, guess what? There's somebody that it's their second week. If this is your 30th year, there's somebody that has 35 in. There's always somebody that's ahead that can help you walk it out and that you can follow. And I'm so thankful for it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for giving us the example of a father. Thank you for helping us walk out authentic manhood in every area of our life. Thank you for brothers. Thank you for allowing us to be sons. In Jesus' name, amen.